touch on, and I think it builds on almost a theme of what the Holy Spirit was already starting to open up for us. And Tari always laughs at my titles. So it's, what's your part in our fruit salad? And we all like a good fruit salad on a Sunday evening when you start watching your movie, with a bit of custard and ice cream. But let that just simmer in your mind of, what's your part in our fruit salad? So some of us, we like freshly made fruit salad. And some of us are lazy. You go to Checkers, you buy a cool can, and you chuck it in and custard and off you go. But there is a difference, let's be honest. So the fruit salad that you make from fresh, it's a flavor explosion, richness in taste, pleasing to the eyes. And you just can just feel those vitamins nourishing your body. And then you open the can and you chuck it in and you eat it. No effort, no love in making it. You can just feel your waist growing of all the sugar, but in it's in. But sometimes we forget, whatever salad there is, there was a process of growing that fruit, even in the can or fresh. It had to be grown by a very patient farmer that faced challenges like any farmer does. He might have gotten some advice on how to produce more fruit or a better quality fruit so that we all can enjoy that. So tonight, I just want to start off firstly with a disclaimer. And I ask Benny and Bob if it's fine. So I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to teach. I'm going to share. And the reason is because what I wanted to share in my life is work in progress. It's not a finished product. So I don't want to teach because I haven't mastered it. But I want to take you on the journey with me, with the theme of what we have is, let's live in the light. Let's be vulnerable. Let's be open. So what you're going to hear, it's fresh, hot off the press. It's something I'm struggling with, I'm growing with. I'm submitted to my elders. And I'm, guys, help me with my friends. I don't have this done and dusted. Okay, everyone fine with that? That you, hopefully, thanks, Mpo, someone is going with me on the journey. Okay. Together with this, some of you might know, and now we left. Ari. He will be leaving us in 2 weeks on Friday. And for us as parents, it's tough. I mean, you guys that have had children leaving the home, you might nod now and say, yeah, we understand it is tough. So it's our first one that's leaving. And he's not leaving to Oudtshoorn or close by that we can get into the car. He's actually going to the States. So we don't know how often we will see him. And it's just not the FaceTime is just not the same as having him in your life. So now he makes his appearance there at the back as we speak. So if you allow me a bit of a proud daddy moment, when me and Lindy reflected about our 19 years with our boykie, and it's a pity Lindy is not here, but again, I did share it with her prior to coming. And I wanted to honor her in her role that she played. I had a full-time job in Joburg. Guys that work there know the life. You get away at 6 if you're lucky, and if you're lucky, you're back at 6. So sometimes I just saw them when they slept. Some of you might have experienced that as well. But I just wanted to take this daddy moment to say, we are proud parents of our boykie, and we are almost happy, sad, that we can send him off with a heart that says, we invested well. Yes, it wasn't always easy. He was a difficult lighty, sometimes still is, but now he's bigger than me, so I can't wrestle him anymore. But yeah, the honor goes to Lindy in that, and even in my absence of all her efforts, her sacrifice, the discipline she put in, the sacrifices she put in raising a boyke that we can be proud of. And as a community, some of you guys had a very close inputs and still do have that. We are very gracious and very thankful of that. And hopefully by the end, you will see why I used that as just an honoring moment, but it just links to what I'm going to share later today. Okay, but like in any good preach, let's start with a story. And it's about a bamboo farmer. Bamboo? Everyone, did I pronounce it correct? He was growing Chinese bamboo. And not to, I'm going to read a bit. So telling, reading, those kind of things. Okay. This guy, he didn't dream this up himself, as this was his grandfather's patch of ground. And his grandfather had taught him exactly how to do it before he passed away. He said, water it every day. Don't ask questions, just water it. So he planted the seeds, watered it, fertilized it, and made sure it gets sun. Year one, nothing. No sprout, just dirt. Year two, same thing. He's out there faithfully watering what looks for all the world like an empty flower bed. Meanwhile, his neighbor had this gorgeous vegetable garden, almost like Benny's. Tomatoes the size of his fist. Prize-winning stuff. And people keeps asking our farmer why he's still fussing over a patch of dirt when he could be growing something that, you know, actually grows. He starts wondering if his grandfather was just pulling his leg. Year three, nothing. His wife is asking if he shouldn't take up a hobby with visible results. Maybe golf, pottery, fishing. So in the story, let's have a little bit of an ad, like any good story, even in TV. We know that we should always listen to the voice of God. But Adam listened to the voice of his wife. And see where that ended up. So today I can make that joke because Lindy's not here, but let's keep it in the family again. Luckily, this guy listened not to his wife. So year four, nothing. 4 years of watering an apparently dead patch of dirt. Getting compared to every other garden in his street. Wondering if he's the only fool still doing this. Year five. In about 6 weeks, the bamboo shot up 90 feet into the air. So let's have a question. Did the bamboo grow 90 feet in 6 weeks? Or did it grow 90 feet in 5 years? And we only saw the last 6 weeks. Any answers? Any guesses? Both are correct. But all those nothing above the ground, while the root system actually spread deep and wide and strong, so that it had strong enough roots to hold up 90 feet of bamboo with the first wind that comes. But here's the thing. I wanted to sound like Benny. Here's the thing. They never stopped needing the water. So the water is important. Keep that in mind. The bamboo doesn't graduate from the water source once it's shot up. The day it stops drawing the water, that's the day it stops growing. So our farmers, standing there 5 years later, next to 90 feet of bamboo, and his neighbor, with his prize-winning tomatoes, standing on the other side of the fence, with his jaw on the floor. And what do you think our farmer did? He didn't gloat. He hands the guy a bucket, and he says, come on, let me show you how my grandfather taught me to do this. So that's my whole sharing in a story. So let me tell you what I'm going to share, then I'm going to share it, and then we're going to close it off of what did I share. So faithfulness that nobody claps for. A piece of land our farmer stewarded versus comparing. Discipline to keep going that looks like nothing is coming from it 4 years in a row. Roots that never stop needing the source. And in the end, something worth handing on to a friend or to a family member. Something that is vital as a contribution to the bigger portion. So as we all bring that thing that God gave you, your spiritual gift, your natural abilities or talents, we all together create a beautiful, lacquer, worthy mix of a blessing towards each other. Church in action, a nice lacquer fruit salad. So if you want to leave now, that's the preach. Or we can unpack it. So faithfully fruitful is the bridge between our character, who we are, and our contribution of what we produce. Okay. So let's go to Matthew 25, 14 to 30. It's a very known piece of scripture about the talents and the three slaves that the master entrusted with. So again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Keep that in mind, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man had received the 5 talents, brought the other 5. Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, your wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some hard scriptures, even what Benny touched on, each, I think some of these, when I read it for the first time, was like, your wicked and lazy servant. I think that's probably one of the scariest things of standing in front of the Lord one day and hearing that. I'd much rather be the guy with the 5 or the 2 and saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. than hearing that. So the servants that was praised isn't the one with the most talents, but the one faithful with what was given to him. That well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. So tonight I want to touch on two concepts. Faithfulness and fruitfulness. That's the two. But there's some key principles as we unpack it. There's root and there's fruit. That's principle one. So some biology lesson. Faithfulness is the abiding in the vine. Fruitfulness is the natural byproduct. Okay. The second one. The order matters. God called all of us to faithfulness first. Fruitfulness is God's timing and His department. Our job is to be reliable. His job is to make it grow. You cannot have the fruit without the root. And then the last principle is the stewardship principle. The servant who were good and faithful with what they were given were the ones we saw a fruitful return. Okay, so no sharing or preaching of mine will be complete if we don't have some fridge magnet wisdoms. Okay, so hopefully you've got your writing things because it's packed, full of wisdoms. Okay, let's start off. God multiplies our faithfulness into fruitfulness. Be faithful in the hidden places and God will make you fruitful in the public places. Fruitfulness without faithfulness is temporary success. That was one that struck me this week quite hard. So I just want to repeat that. Fruitfulness without faithfulness is just temporary success. So there's something about faithfulness in order to be fruitful. You agree? So let's dive into some handles. I like to make things practical. So let's go. 4 points. Faithfulness is measured by stewardship, not comparison. And for me, it's point number one is myth busting. And the reason is, let's go back to our story in Matthew 25. Each servant received a different amount according to his ability. When I read it at first, I was like, but I'm not as talented as Henry, so that's why I'm receiving less. Or I get more because I'm smarter, or I'm more beautiful, or I'm faster, or whatever. And it was, no, that's how God designed me. He gave me according to what He designed in me, my character, the way He made me for a specific purpose. And He gave me to steward whatever He gave me according to that ability. So as soon as I compare to Benny, I'm playing out of my lane. That's not how He made me. So as soon as we start doing faithfulness out of a comparison, we're dead in the water from day one. Okay. Ability is not measured like the world by using a single measuring stick. It is much rather related to how God designed you, your calling, your gifts, your uniqueness. The reality of it is, God will one day ask what you did with what He gave you. What is in your hand? Not in relation to what's in your neighbor's hand, or in your spouse, or your co-worker. He will ask, what did you do with what I gave you? In Galatians 6:4, it says, each one should test their own actions. then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. The servant who buried his talent didn't fail because of a lack of ability. He failed from fear and comparison-driven paralysis. So because he compared himself, he was never good enough. And some of us are there. I can't do this because I'm not as talented. Just as Lauren shared about the dancing. I can't dance a starry dance, so I'm not coming. But that's her gift that God gave her. So who says you should dance like Tari or you should have muscles like Ari? It's not your portion. God has given you something that you need to take hold of and steward it and add that part to our fruit salad. So sometimes we focus more on what we don't have and we forget on what we have. And then, apologies if I'm stepping on toes. Sometimes we have this poverty mentality or poverty spirit. Poor me. Ek is nou maar net 'n ou wurm. Just that's who I am. And I don't think that's our God. And 3 weeks ago, Sean shared so beautifully of, stop it, that's not who you are. So I think we should take hold of it and stop comparing you to the next guy. It's always good to learn from them, being discipled, grow with them. But don't compare because it's unfair. Some practical examples. Our worship leader wants to quit serving because the other team is so much better. Meanwhile, he or she forgets about the 5 people that was taken into God's presence. Our comlude grieve. There. My English airtime is almost finished, so I need to. Okay, a comm group leader only has a small number of people attending. He's comparing himself to the other comm that is struggling to fit all the people into his lounge. Is that you, Vachis? So the smaller number matters as much to God than the big one. Social media, the modern one talent servant trap. Scrolling through it, you see other people's highlights, reels, and then you bury your own gift out of a discouragement. I'm just not as good. I'm just not there. Then the question is, what is your talent? What's your gift? What's your fruit? You could or should bring us a contribution to this fruit salad. So let's close point number one with another fridge magnet. God doesn't compare your harvest to your neighbor's field. He compares it to your seed he has given into your hand. And ultimately, what you do with that of what is given. Okay, let's go to number two. The heart topic. So first was the Mythbusters about comparing versus stewardship. Second one, the hard one. Faithfulness requires discipline. So in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, Paul's got this metaphor of the athlete. Discipline training, it's not only about natural gifting that helps you win the race. In Hebrews 12, verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. John 15, the Father, as the wine dresser, prunes every fruitful branch that it may bear more fruit. So let's unpack this. Some practical examples of discipline. Looking at Heinrich running every morning at 5. I'm sure No athlete feels like training at 5. Jumping out of bed. Yes, 5 o'clock. Ice cold. No coffee. I'm just going to run. It's quiet. Sure, that's not it. But the fruit or the medal, that only comes months after the discipline. The discomfort at times. It's same with prayer, Bible reading, tithing, intentional investment time in your children. It takes time and effort. The difference between a hobbyist and a professional is rarely talent. It's the boring, repeated discipline nobody sees. Pruning your fruit tree might seem like a big loss in the moment, but cutting off good-looking branches, but it's what produces next season's harvest. God may be cutting in your life a bad habit, a relationship, a belief, or even comfort, so that it can make space for more fruit. Fridge magnet. Discipline is the unglamorous root of a fruitful life. It's uncomfortable, hence the hard topic. Point number 3, the us effect. Faithfulness reproduces itself through discipleship. So 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. What you have, and it's all about, what you have heard from me entrusted to faithful men will be able to teach others. When I wrote it down, there's a lot of twos in this. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. Was it an accident? Was it on purpose? No, this is the us effect. If you unpack that, hold that on. Just keep the two in mind. We'll come back to that. The servants in the parable that traded or put their money or their talent to work multiplied what was entrusted. The faithfulness invests in others. It doesn't hoard and keep everything to itself. Some practical examples. A parent's faithfulness, sacrifice, intentional inputs into children doesn't just shape them. It has a multiplication effect across generations. I'm sure if we ask some of the gray-haired people around, they can testify about this. It has a generational impact if you spend 10 minutes with your kids on your knees. We had a simple principle with our kids. Now we can share it because now they're a bit older. But we had 5 yeses and then a no. It stretched. I almost said the hell out of me. But it stretched. Because that's not the rule. You get it? And when we taught this, okay, 5 yeses and then no, it helped us establish a relationship with them that now we can send them off into the world. That we felt, yes, it was good. The discipleship of that simple principle helped us so much. Now, I'm not saying count to 5. If they're making stupid decisions, say no. If it harms them and it's not good, use that. But the principle that we had is just don't say immediately no. Listen them out. It's a relationship you're going to build because it has multiple generational impact with what you do. Back to the two principles. So, Paul to Timothy. Timothy to faithful men. Those men to other men, according to Scripture. That's 4 layers of discipleship in 1 verse. So surely there's some good guidance for us on how to approach it. A mentor or a friend who pours into just one younger believer often produces a lot more than a platform with 1,000 followers. So a magnet. Fruit that isn't shared was never meant to be kept. And that brings me to the fourth point. Personally, for me, the biggest struggle, and probably in our today's culture as well, the fruit itself is abiding, not performing. Just because it's such a big struggle for me, I'm going to read it again. The fruit itself comes through abiding, not performing. And why I say it's the culture, we are so pushed to perform, to climb the ladder, to have the right car, to have the right address, to wear the right clothes. It's such a culture of performance that we miss the abiding. Even in church, you need to sing the right songs, you need to sit at the right place, you need to talk to the right people. And when we forget what Benny shared this before we even worship, just leave it at his feet and just adore him. Let's get into that rhythm. But if we're always performing, we're always in comparison again, point number one. We always miss, we will never be in sync because we're always in performing mode. Again, being open and vulnerable, I'm chief performer. That was my DNA of I want to perform because that's where I found acceptance. Just a little bit of insight into my life. That God is working out of me for the good of my family, for good of my marriage, for the good of the congregation, and wherever God wants to use me. So abide in me, says John 15:4-5. Abide in me. Apart from you, you can do nothing. It's not what I'm saying. That's what Scripture says. We can try and fill our days and be busy, but does it have eternal impact? If I read this, if you're not imbibed and obedient to what God says, it is actually nothing. So Galatians 5:22-23, where there's the fruit of the Spirit, it does touch on faithfulness, and it shapes fruitfulness. The two vital ingredients for this is character and discipline. Not achievement or performance. So let me take you through it again. Faithfulness shapes fruitfulness. Through character and discipline, not your achievement or your performance. Again, some practical examples on this. I've never seen a branch of a fruit tree straining to produce fruit. It simply stays connected to the vine, and the fruit is a natural byproduct. No branch fights or grunts and poof, there's an apple. Doesn't work like that. Contrast with some of our Christian, we burn out trying to perform fruitfulness through sheer effort. I loved it when I shared it with Heinrich in a coffee on Thursday, and I'm so kudos to you. That actually just leads to burnout, and you becoming a dry fruit. Uitgedroogde stuk perske. But no one wants to be part of my fruit salad. It's not lekker. Do what you are called for and designed to be. In our skit, some of the comms even touched on it. A foot can't be a mouth. The ear can't be a toe. Do what you are called to. The apple cannot be an orange, and we all can't be the same. A fruit salad of only apple is quite boring. It's just not the same. So fruitfulness in Galatians 5 does not mean a bigger ministry or a platform or a place to be seen, because that just feeds your pride. It's ordinary, close-to-home stuff. Having more patience with your kids. Be gentle with a difficult co-worker or the beggar at the robot. or even the back scratches that will be at your home tomorrow morning. Self-control of your temper. Maybe forgiving that one person with no records of wrong. That is fruitfulness. So let's close this and bring it all the way back. So faithful is the root. Fruitfulness is the byproduct. You don't get the one without the other. But we need your fruit to enjoy the amazing fruit salad of church. So how do we apply that? So if we look back at our story of our bamboo farmer, the grandfather was actually discipling. The neighbor's garden was the picture of comparison versus stewardship. 4 years of watering, discipline. Staying at that to the water source, the roots, was the abiding portion. And handing the bucket to his neighbor, discipleship again. And you've got your loop complete. Faithfulness is available to all of us, regardless of the amount given. The call is the same for us. Be faithful of what is in your hand. So Jenna, if I can ask you to gooi some note. I want to close off with four questions that I want to ask you guys. I'm not going to call you up. If you want to come up, that's fine. But be brutally honest in answering these questions. It will probably not be the first time that you've been asked this question. And if you just brush it off, don't do it again tonight. So if you reflect on your life or your day, where you're at, the things you struggle with, where's the area in your life that you're comparing instead of stewarding? Second question. Where or in which area in my life do I need to exercise more discipline? Number three, back to the us effect. Who are you discipling and who's discipling you? And the fourth one is, do you abide or do you strive and perform out of your own self? Let me repeat the four questions again. Where are you comparing instead of stewarding? Some things that comes to mind is your friend's new car, your neighbor's new couch, their kids' performance, their report they brought home. In which area in your life do you need more discipline? I need to train a bit more. I need to eat a bit more healthy. I need to be faithful to my words, to my kids, and the promises I made. Or even to my wife, where I said, I'm going to spend 10 minutes just praying with you, or just unpacking while you're making the food. Just sit with you. Was that a promise? Do you need more discipline and just sticking to your word? Who am I discipling and who's discipling me? Church, we're not called, Christianity is not a solo sport. Sometimes it is difficult. There's stuff you need to figure out and lay in front of the Lord and hear his voice. But nowhere says you need to do it on your own. So if you're not being discipled, you're missing a critical part of being faithful and being fruitful. And there's no one that can stand here tonight and say, I've got it all together. None of our elders will be the first that we struggle. We don't have it all together. We need to build on each other. We share our lives with each other. We need inputs. And not to say it's only the four of us, that we need to have coffee with fellow saints. God, I'm struggling with this piece of my life. help me. That's discipleship. And now it's your quiet time. It's easy to say, we need to abide. Such a big word for Afrikaans. Sometimes it goes, oop, I don't know what that means. And then someone, but how's your quiet time? What's the Lord saying for you now? What did he say to you this week? If you don't know, you're not abiding. It's as simple as that. There might be times where it's quiet, yes, where God's not saying, but do you stop asking? So practical things, I want to leave you with things to hold on to. And if you're honest, are you fighting this life by performing from one task to the next just to climb the ladder or tick a box or even be accepted? Because then I want to take you back to Sean's preach. That's not who you are. Stop it. Go listen to that preach again. It's not who you are. You are loved. You've been bought by the biggest sacrifice someone can. And he loves you. You're forgiven. That's who you are. You don't need to perform for acceptance to God. If you say yes to him, he loves you. I want to leave you with those four. This might be my shortest preach ever, but I feel there's a response. And again, if it's Benny, if you feel it, I don't think it's a call to come forward and we pray with you. Of course, the opportunity is there. If you say, I just need someone to pray with me about one of the things that you've touched on that the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart, by all means, we'll be here. But I think just if it's fine with you, Benny, just have 5 minutes or 2 minutes on your own with the Lord. Do business with him, saying, Lord, that one thing that was mentioned, that's crapping. It hit a nerve. On those four questions, there's something you want to lay at his feet. Do that now. So, Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are present here. We thank you for being entrusted with something to steward. Lord, we want to ask your forgiveness where we fall into the trap of comparison. And then in that we hide who you've designed me to be. Lord, we want to ask that you give us the boldness and the courage to step out and be faithful. Lord, that we pick up the loose ends and be disciplined in areas that you've highlighted to us. Lord, I want to ask us to be bold and find someone to disciple and be discipled so that we can grow and reflect you better. And Lord above, let us start with you in the center, with you as our water source in the concept of abiding. But we will never step one day or one decision without abiding in you. Lord, as we grow, we want to conclude the cycle again and again and again until the day you come and take us home. So with every eye closed, if some of this was complete Greek to you, and you don't know Jesus, you don't know who's this guy you sang about? Or I've heard of him, I don't know him. I also want to have an abiding moment with him. So if there's someone that I have never given my life to Jesus, if you're brave enough and stick up your hand, we really want to pray with you and introduce you to him. So with every eye closed, if there's someone that I don't want to leave you, So another fridge magnet on that is, if you don't know Jesus, don't die. Please, if you don't know Jesus, don't die. You have only one chance in this side of eternity. So again, if anyone has prompting on his heart that we can pray with you, be so brave, stick up your hand. The angels will have a big party tonight with us. This is an awesome evening, actually, because everyone here we will see in heaven. We'll see in heaven together. Everyone has already been saved. And then lastly, if someone wants to come to the front and we can just pray with you about something that you felt the Holy Spirit is stirring in you, we're going to close the meeting. And then we'll hang around and pray with you. Don't leave and say, I'll do it next time. Or I promise you, you'll forget. The devil is just outside the door waiting to just pull you away again. Don't leave without praying with us.